ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 45 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। यावन्रिकाय रतमात्मवशो पकल्पम धत्ते गर्ष्टचरणाक्षनया निशातम ज्ञानासिमच्युत बलो ददस्त शत्रु स्वानंद तुष्ट उपशांत इदं विजह्यात्। Translation: as long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. The enemies mentioned above are in the previous two verses. They are called attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger and sleep. Which, if I say it in Sanskrit, you can probably understand it better. Raga, well, you want to know, it means asakti. Dvesha, lobha, shoka, moha, bhaya, mada, mana, avamana, that means avamana, you don't understand that? Apamana, similar word. Asuya, which is like dvesh, similar to. Maya, which means moha. Hingsa, matsara. So these are the enemies which we can get free from. Now, why am I reading this on the appearance day of Lord Balaram? What's the particular connection? Did anyone listen very carefully to the Sanskrit verse? Probably not. Not close enough. The word Bala comes up in this verse, and that will be discussed in the purport, which I'll read now. It's quite a long purport. It's over 3 pages. One interesting feature of this purport, again, if you're listening very carefully, now I've given you a clue, is that Srila Prabhupada quotes the Janma Karma Chame Divyam verse twice in this purport. So, listen in. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, the Lord says, Janma karma cha me devyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyakva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. End of that translation. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ritehamadyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim nataret saatmaha. This human form of body is a most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain, Guru Karnadharam, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nescience. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nescience. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely, so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A significant word here, means in the Bhagavatam verse that we're reading, is Achyuta Balaha. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nescience. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon by serving. One gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy. The enemy, remember the enemies, it's attachment, fear, insults, all these things. Illusion, that we just read there. One gets strength to conquer the enemy, and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer the enemy, and after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma-bhuta, as the Lord says in Bhagavad-gita, Brahma-bhuta-prasanna-atmana-shochati-na-kangshati samah-sarveshu-bhuteshu-madbhaktim-labhate-param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires anything to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktya mama bijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down again and accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjuna. Says the second time. It's quoted in this purport. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatvataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mang tatvato gyatva. So you see that Srila Prabhupada is quoting, he's just quoted one Gita verse, now he's quoting another one. And in both of these verses, the words tatvataha appears. So the link is given. Krishna can be understood by the process of bhakti. And by understanding Krishna, in both of these verses, it says that one can go to Krishna. So they're very similar statements, but from somewhat different angles. So unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Aruhya Kritchrena Parang Padang Tatah Patantyadho Nadrita Yushmadangraha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahma Padam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instructions, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Okay, there's 2.5 pages. And what about Balaram? Continuing. Significant in this verse are the words, Gyanasim Achyuta Balaha. So Srila Prabhupada already said that the words Achyuta Bala, he already said in the purport. A significant word here is Achyuta Bala. But he didn't specifically explain it having said that. Now he will do so. Gyanasim, the sword of knowledge is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Brajendra Nandan Jay Shachi Shuta Hoilo She Balarama Hoilo Nitai. This Bala, Achyuta Bala, this Bala, Balaram, comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi joto chilo hariname udharilo. Their weapon is Sankirtan, Harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo Nacha Pramadat Tapaso Vapyalingat Etairupa Yair Yatate Yastu Vidvangs Tas Yaisha Atma Vishate Brahmadhama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitaye Karuna Hobe Braje Radha Krishna Pabe. When one receives the mercy of Balaram, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Sri Shambandha Nahija, Brita Janam Gelota, Vidakule Ki Koribeta. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, then, even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna with the strength received from, the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. I think by this all moving around, then it'll be more of an entertainment for the devotees than listening to the class. If there's any little thing to distract, then people will be distracted. And if there's nothing to distract, then you can examine your fingernails. So, you can either stop doing it or have someone on the other side also. Rather than jumping around like this. Balaram gives strength. Balaram gives one strength. One should take Krishna's instructions and take strength from Balaram. Balaram is very strong. Meaning Bala means strong. He's also very beautiful. That's mentioned that different features, different manifestations of the Supreme Lord, they manifest different qualities. Krishna manifests all the qualities, and Balaram, he especially manifests beauty. And he's very strong. But Krishna is stronger. They're the same, and they're different. And Krishna is stronger. And the proof of that, as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, we are worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked, who is strong, Krishna or Balaram, he said that Krishna is stronger, and the proof is, if you see the deities of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, Balaram is leaning on Krishna. So Krishna is supporting Balaram. We should take strength from Krishna and Balaram. But specifically said here, one should take Achyuta Bala, means Krishna is Achyuta, and we take knowledge from him, and we take strength especially from Balaram. Why particularly from Balaram? Not mentioned here in the purport, but Balaram is the guru principle. As you must have noticed here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions again and again, one should take strength and mercy from the spiritual master. So spiritual master is considered the manifestation of Balaram. Balaram enters into manifests himself in the personality of the guru. So as I was saying earlier this morning, Krishna and Balaram, they're the same person, but they're different also. Balaram, he is the first guru, because he points to Krishna. He's the first one. He's the first in the hierarchy, pointing to Krishna. And he shows the example by serving Krishna, fulfilling all of Krishna's desires. This is called prema. Atindriya, priti vancha, tare bale kam, krishnendriya, priti icha, dhare premana. When one's desires are directed towards serving one's own senses, that is called kam. But when one's desire, which is called kam, is directed towards serving Krishna's senses, that is called prema. So Balaram serves Krishna in all respects. He manifests as Krishna's bed, as his shoes, as the chamara for serving him, as his clothing, as his deity thread, as the whole spiritual world for his pastimes, the holy dham. So in this way, Balaram serves Krishna in every way. Balaram serves Krishna in this way, in the mode of dasya. He's also in the mode of sakya. He's in the mode of service. He's in the mode of friendship. They're just like two brothers, like two friends. But Balaram's the elder brother, so he's also in the mode of vatsalya. He also looks after Krishna. And as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radharani, he also manifests and serves Krishna in the Madhurati. And also by manifesting as the spiritual world in Shantarati also. So in all the different ways, he serves Krishna. Therefore, he's the first guru. Because the guru teaches to serve Krishna. That's the meaning of a guru. And that's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As Srila Prabhupada has mentioned here, Balaram comes as Nityananda in this age, and Nityananda Purna Kare Chaitanya Rakam. The same thing. As Balaram, he comes as Nityananda, and he fulfills all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desires. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire for us here in this material world is that we come to Him. And for this mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurates the Sankirtan movement and the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So Balaram, as Nityananda, as the first guru, is the preacher, preaches Krishna consciousness, spreads the holy names, gets people to chant. More than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he fulfills the description of the whole of the Panchatattva. Patra patra bichanahi nahishtanashtan jayjaha pai tarin deya prem dhan. Without considering who is a fit candidate or what is a proper place or time, he simply, the Panchatattva simply give pure love of Krishna. So Nityananda, more than anyone, did that. So in this way he serves Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Lakshman in Ram Leela, he is the same, Balaram. He serves Rama. He's very strong. Lakshman is very strong. Very powerful. He serves also Lord Ram by becoming very angry, manifested the spirit of wanting to serve Ram, so angry that when he gets the news that Kaikeyi has told Dasharath that he must order Ram to go to the forest, then Lakshman wants to kill Kaikeyi and Dasharath and Bharat out of his spirit. He's outraged. How can he? He's willing to. And Ram restrains him. So his love comes out in that anger that in Krishna, Rama has to, yeah, okay, just cool down a bit. Has to restrain him there. Then in Krishna Leela also, Balaram, Krishna has to restrain him sometimes. When Arjuna, by trickery, taking the dress of a sannyasi, kidnapped Subhadra, and Balaram was very angry. How can you do this? It's a great insult. We heard how Balaram himself became very angry when the Kauravas, they kidnapped Samba, who, one of the many sons of Krishna, one of the prominent sons of Krishna, who had kidnapped the daughter of Duryodhana, Lakshmana. So the Kauravas became very angry, and on behalf of the Yadavas, Balaram went to pacify them. And they didn't listen until he threatened to kill them all, and didn't just threaten to, but he, with his plow, he started pulling the whole of Hastinapur toward the Yamuna. So a similar thing happened, that Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra. Balaram was very angry, and Krishna fell down at his feet and pacified him. So in this way, Ram pacifies Lakshman, Krishna pacifies Balaram, and in Gaura Leela, actually, Nityananda pacifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Jagai and Madhai had, especially Madhai, had attacked Nityananda by throwing the wine pot at Nityananda, drawing blood, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to kill Madhai for, in this way, attacking his beloved Nityananda, but Nityananda had to cool him down and say, "No, you got the wrong leela here. This leela, you're not supposed to kill anyone, because if you have to kill the demons, then there'll be no one left in Kali Yuga. You have to bring them to bhakti." But also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacifies Nityananda or restrains him. When Nityananda, in the feeling of just being like a complete young boy, he forgot he grew up. Because he's always, he reverts to the mood of a young cowherd boy all the time. So he forgot he grew up. So young boys in the village, not now, until a few years ago, they'd all, young boys and girls, they'd run around naked. Even in the city, I guess it must have been. That all they'd have is that Kati Sutra, that black, or it doesn't have to be black, that little string around the waist. So Nityananda, he forgot he grew up. One day he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house. This is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was married, completely naked. And I say, what's going on here? We can't chastise him because he's a sannyasi and a sadhu. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called, bring some new cloth. And he tore it and made a kopin for him. For a sadhu to be dressed in a kopin is enough. Nothing is also okay. A kopin is enough, actually, for a sadhu. Doesn't need anything more. Still, there's some in North India, some sadhus, they go. That Devara Babu, I think he only wore a kopin, isn't it? What's his name? Devaha. He only wore a kopin. Sometimes naked. And he lived for no one knows how many years. He also didn't know. He forgot. Few hundred years or whatever. Then one day he thought, okay, might as well go now. He lived, at least at the end of his life, in Vrindavan. So Nityananda, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a kopin and put it on Nityananda and then took little bits of that kopin, little bits, and he told you all keep in your shika. He said to the devotee, if you wear in your shika, you'll be completely free from kaam, from material lust, by his blessings. So when someone is so free from lust, then they may even be naked and no one, you'll see Shukdev also, that's described. He was 16 years old, but at the same time he was a newborn baby because he remained in the womb for 16 years. So he came out and he didn't want to waste any time putting clothes on or any such thing. He just left home. And his father was, what happened? He left. Where did he go? He went that way. So his father came running some distance behind. Then Shukadev went past and there were some girls in the pond, young girls bathing naked. And they saw Shukadev and pranam and went on bathing. Then Vyasadev came behind him. And they all quickly, and put on their clothes. And Vyasadeva stopped and said, hey, you didn't stop. You didn't put on your clothes when he went past. And he was naked also. And you put on your clothes when I went past. And he said, yeah, he's naked because he has no feeling of any, no lust. But you're a householder, so we're not sure about you. So you're following the rules and regulations of society. So you shouldn't see naked God. So they instructed Vyasadeva like this. So in Gaura Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he may also pacify or Nityananda. A very, very strong personality. Very, very powerful personality. And independent also in the sense that although he's completely dedicated to fulfilling the will of Krishna, but he's an independent thinker also, in as much as he doesn't always take Krishna's opinion on everything. He's friends with Duryodhana. How can you be a friend of Duryodhana? But he is. He found something good in him. That's why he becomes Nityananda. People who have no qualities whatsoever. Even offensive, but he'll try to deliver. You see, Jagai and Madhai, most, they weren't offensive by nature, but then when they threw the pot, they're violent by nature, but they weren't specifically against Vaishnavas. But then with people with a violent nature, when they come in contact with Krishna or devotees, then their nastiness becomes directed toward them. That's also if people, they're trying to cultivate good qualities, and if they come in contact with a sadhu and they treat them respectfully, that's also very beneficial for them. So they became offensive at this point, and Nityananda, he delivered them. But when someone has a tendency to be offensive towards Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, then Nityananda may show his mercy in a different way. By, for instance, there's the case of Ramachandra Khan, who was very offensive to Haridas Thakur, tried to make him fall down by sending a prostitute. Then later, Nityananda, he was traveling here and there in the villages of Bengal. He came to the village of Ramachandra Khan, and he was very insulted by Ramachandra. Great sadhu comes to your home, and he sends his servant out. He doesn't personally come to meet him. And says that, there's no place to stay in the house. You have such a big party. So you can stay in the cow shed. So Nityananda understood this is just insulting, because he's the zamindar of the village. So it's his duty to provide any wandering, traveling person. They should be provided for by the zamindar of the village. So Nityananda understood. He said that we are not fit to stay in this village. And they left. He left in anger. And a few days later, because he was under Muslim rule at that time, that's why he got the name Ramachandra Khan. He's Hindu, but with the Khan name. So mostly you'll find that that's also in the story of Raghunath Das, how his father was also a zamindar and collecting taxes on behalf of the government. But there's always some rivalry between people at that level. Someone else wants to collect the taxes. So some Turkish man came to that village a few days later, and he wanted to take over the zamindari, so he drove all the people out of the village and killed a cow and in the Durga Mandap, because this man Ramachandra Khan was a Durga worshipper, and there used to be a lot of rivalry. The Durga worshippers used to hate in Bengal the Vaishnavas, the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. So, and then the whole village was completely deserted for days, months and years afterwards. So Chaitanya Charitamrita states that as the result of one person's offense to a Vaishnava, then the whole community has to suffer. It may be. So that's so dangerous. So Nityananda, he's the guru. We have to take strength from him. This is the point. Srila Prabhupada is the only place in his books that he quotes this verse. Nayam atma balahinena labhyo. That's from Mundaka Upanishad. It's quite a well-known verse among those who are followers of the Upanishads or the Vedic path. One cannot attain the Atma without strength, balahina. One requires strength. Balahina means without strength. So there was someone who had the name Vivekananda, although he didn't have any proper Vivek at all. So he interpreted this to mean that you have to have a very strong body. That's the first requirement, is to have a strong body. And for that you have to eat meat, and play football. He said, better to play football than read Bhagavad Gita, because you won't understand Bhagavad Gita. And if you play football, you'll get a strong body. He died young. He was only less than 40. So all he's talking about strength and eat meat. Fortunately, he didn't live. Well, he might have got Krishna's mercy. I don't know. He was in the same era as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he didn't get the Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Saraswati, Siddhanta Saraswati, but he wasn't interested in them. So, mercy. We have to take the mercy of Bala. So we can take the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. Now, here we have a Gurukul. Actually, all the ISKCON centers are meant to be Gurukuls. That means that, not necessarily that we have young children being taught, but it's the place of the Guru. It's the place where spiritual knowledge is taught. And that's supposed to be there at all ISKCON centers. All the devotees are students. Srila Prabhupada often referred to my students, meaning his disciples. So we're supposed to take knowledge, but also we have to take the mercy. And Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in this purport that one has to actually engage in bhakti. It's not enough to take knowledge. One actually has to perform devotional service. There's sambandha. There are three stages in devotional service. Sambandha gyan, taking knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. And prayojan, the ultimate goal is to attain pure love of Krishna. And between the two stages, there's abhideya, or the process of practical devotional service. So that's also required that apart from taking knowledge, we have to act in devotional service. So in the Gurukul, the main thing that the students have to do is to become servants of the Guru. That's the main thing. That's taught by Narada Muni, Brahmachari Gurukul Evasandanto Guru Hitam Dasavan Acharan Nicho Sudra Guru Sohrida. The disciple, the Brahmachari, should live in the Gurukul. There's no living outside the ashram. It's not a Brahmachari. You may just to be unmarried doesn't make one a Brahmachari. So one should, the Brahmachari should live in the Gurukul and control his sense, very regulated life. Not like in the, that's why the school and Gurukul is very different. The word is different and the whole concept is completely different. Because the schools, they're for training how to get sense gratification. And in the schools, they can't teach the children properly because they're engaging in sense gratification. They can't wait that first I have to grow up and earn some money, then I can have sense gratification. But it's right there in the school. You can have sex, you can have drugs. So then where's the education? The first education is character training. So control the senses. And they should be taught to be humble servants of the Guru and to be happy in the service of the Guru. To do it, to serve out of affection for the Guru. So this is the training. And then all the Shastra Gyan, that will come. That's why they go to the Gurukul to study Shastra. But first thing you have to see the character. Otherwise, giving knowledge to people who don't have good character, then they won't understand the knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Without character, you can teach them RRR, that's writing, arithmetic, and what's the third one? Maybe it's religion. There's 3 hours, I can't remember. Anyway, the main thing is writing, and they have to learn to read and write and arithmetic. Arithmetic, which means that's the beginning of mathematics. Yeah, not religion. So the 3 hours they have to learn. So you can learn that. You can learn how to read and write, but Ravana also learned Shastric knowledge, but he's still Ravana. He didn't become a saint. Just by getting this knowledge, you don't become saintly. The knowledge itself doesn't make you saintly. There has to be practical application as a devotee. Then you get the mercy of Krishna. Ah. So this has to be taught, how to practically engage in devotional service and get the mercy of Krishna via the spiritual master, who is the manifestation of Balaram. Balaram gives strength to the guru via the disciplic succession. How can someone claim to be a guru and give spiritual knowledge and give guidance and be worshipped as good as God because he's the humble servant? Just like Balaram, he's actually strong, he's actually powerful, he's actually supreme, but he takes the position of a humble servant. And he gives strength to those who take the position of a humble servant, that they can infuse others with that same feeling. So as Srila Prabhupada mentioned several times in this purport, one has to get the mercy of the spiritual master by pleasing him. Otherwise the knowledge, it won't help you very much. If one has learned, even one learns Prabhupada's books, but one's not actually becoming not actually thinking how to please the spiritual master. If one's simply thinking how I will promote my own mission and make myself, I will impress others with my learning and my knowledge, you might be able to, but you won't get Krishna's mercy. And one won't get free from pride, deception, and all bad qualities. One should learn. One shouldn't also set oneself up as some kind of spiritual leader without learning. One should learn. But the whole point is to please the guru, and then Krishna's mercy comes. Otherwise, what's the point of that knowledge? Then it becomes something like Karna's knowledge. Karna's knowledge of the mantra, that Parashuram. His guru was Parashuram, but he became a disciple deceptively. When Parashuram found out, after having taught all the knowledge of all, he served Parashuram very nicely. Parashuram was very pleased with his service. But it was all for the point of taking that knowledge, not for pleasing Parashuram. How could he take that knowledge? How can you take the knowledge of weapons to please a guru, by using that knowledge for dharma? What was the difference between Arjuna and Karna? They were both very powerful. They both had tremendous knowledge of weapons. They both had tremendous weapons. So what was the difference? That Arjuna was fighting for dharma. He wanted to please Krishna. And Karna was, his idea was that, well, I have to please Duryodhana. So you could say that's a noble motive, but it wasn't, because Duryodhana was against dharma, because he was against Krishna. And Duryodhana was, you can see his character, he dared to insult so severely, to insult Draupadi. So that was the difference. Then Karna, he was cursed by his God. I gave you all this knowledge, but when you need it most, you'll forget. It won't help you. It won't actually help you, all this knowledge. So that actually happened when Karna, he was stuck in the mud and he was trying to think, call the weapons to save him. And he just couldn't remember, went blank. The mantras that he knew so well. So in the same way, this spiritual knowledge is supposed to help us to become fully surrendered in Krishna's service. But if we don't think how we can please our guru, if we think somehow we became greater than our guru, or it doesn't matter, or by my own knowledge, my own strength, then Krishna won't be pleased, whatever else we do. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati katopi. This one. If we please the guru, then we get the mercy of Krishna. If we don't please the guru, then whatever else we do, that word api means even though, then we won't get Krishna's mercy. So one may take knowledge, or one may be superficially engaging people in Krishna's service, and doing, one may be chanting, and so many things. But if one dissatisfies the guru, then you won't get Krishna's mercy. And one won't be satisfied at heart. Yayatma supracedati. The symptom of a devotee is that he's satisfied at heart. Why? Because he's serving Krishna selflessly. So whatever else you're doing, it becomes useless. Not completely useless, because in any way one comes to Krishna if one chants the name. That's helpful. But the formula by which bhakti comes to life is pleasing the guru. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that here in this purport. So on this day, we can pray to Balaram to keep us straight on the path. Keep us, then we'll get strength. Otherwise, Maya is very strong. Maya is all around. Maya is not only all around us, but Maya is inside us. Enemy within and enemy without. Therefore, we have to pray. Ito nrsingha, parato nrsingha. Here is nrsingha, there is nrsingha. Yato yato yami, tata nrsingha. Wherever I go, there is nrsingha. Bahir nrsingha, hriday nrsingha. He's outside, he's within my heart. He'll always be there to help us if nrsingha mading saranang prapaje, if we take full shelter by surrendering to him. Then he'll be there to help us. Otherwise, Maya. Maya is there. Nrsimha, terrible form of the Lord. Manifestation of the anger, power of the Lord. The original form of the power of Krishna is Balaram. So let us pray to Balaram on this day. Take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, even though one is a very learned scholar or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. That song is there. Nitaya Vidya Kule Kiko Nitaina Balilo Moke Modulo Shangshara Shuke Vidya Kule Kikori Beta. That even if one doesn't like to chant the name of Nityananda, then one becomes absorbed in material consciousness. And then how will that help you, that you're very learned, that you come in a very high family? That won't help. So this formula, we should study Srila Prabhupada's books and see what we have to do to be Krishna conscious. It's very easy. It's a very easy process. but it's also very easy to deviate. And it's very easy to think that we're in Krishna consciousness, but we're not. We may give so many justifications for deviations, but Krishna knows. We can cheat others, we can cheat ourselves, but we can't cheat Krishna. So let us be simple and pure-hearted devotees and simply try to serve Krishna's mission without any personal desire for lab. I will become materially benefited by this, or puja. People will respect me, pratishta. I will get some big position. No such desire. Let us simply desire to pure-heartedly serve Krishna. Then we'll get all the blessings of Krishna and Balaram. Hare Krishna. Any question about this place? Yeah, that point I was making, I didn't come back to make that clear. So the Gurukul boys, it's not just that we're teaching them shlokas, and it's very nice, but the spirit they should have of selfless service. And Prabhupada said, nowadays if you engage the children in activities like cleaning, and they say, oh, what are you doing? You're making them into slaves. But Prabhupada said, to deprive them of austerity, that is violence to them. He said, if you engage them, they'll take it as they'll be very happy to do. But to give them sense gratification from an early age, that is the violence to the children. Then their human form of life becomes spoiled. But the asuras, they think that human life is spoiled unless you get sense gratification. You have a question, please. You do book distribution to maintain yourself. Yes, Srila Prabhupada allowed that for grihasthas to do so. So it may be some mixed motive, is it? That's the danger. That's the danger. Yeah, then? Now I'm saying to do pure service. Not just now, I'm always saying. No, the attitude, if you want to distribute books and maintain your family life, the attitude should be that, let me distribute the books. And Krishna will look after. Don't think I'll make a big profit, any such thing. And actually, if you have that attitude, then people will sense that. If people think that, if they get the feeling from you that you want to take a lot of money from them, then they won't want to give. You know this very well, right? You're an experienced book distributor. But if you have the mood, okay, let them take this knowledge. And we definitely want them to give money, that's good for them. And we have to print the books, reprint the books, and run on the temple, or in your case, the griha. Then people will feel also that you're not just an ordinary salesman. You're doing it for their, you have their benefit in mind. And then they like to give. But also from that profit, you should give for Krishna conscious projects, like this, for instance. Because grihasthas are also supposed to give, mostly they're hard pressed in the modern age. But those who they're supposed to give something. So you can pray to Balaram, Nityananda. that he also liked to dress with so many jewels and everything. People thought, he's a very strange sannyasi. even though in family life there are thoughts of money and myself and me and mine, but let me serve you purely. Purely doesn't mean one is negligent of one's family needs. But one, very helpful, you can read the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this regard. Manasa deho geho jokichuo apilunto apade nandakisha. This, like this. Ah. When they go out in dhoti and kurta and people think that they've come from the temple and they'd like to give a donation, they may even give a big donation. Oh, they may say, we're from the temple, give a donation. That they shouldn't do. And if people ask, you say, I'm doing this as a means of income. I have a family to support. But I'm also a disciple of a guru who has, his mission is to spread this spiritual knowledge. So I could be earning money by any one of 10,000 means, but I'm doing this so I can simultaneously serve my guru's mission. Best thing is to be straightforward and honest. If you say that I'm from the temple, give a donation, then you become guilty of stealing from Krishna, because people are giving for the temple and you don't give to the temple, then you become sinful. And if people ask you, oh, I want to give to the temple, then you say, okay, you give and I'll give to the temple. Then you give to the temple. Then, yeah.
Once I heard this statement, to the degree we take shelter of our spiritual master, to that degree we can become shelter of others. So,
to the degree that we become sheltered, we take shelter of our guru, to that degree we can give shelter to others.
How important is to understand this in principle? If we can preach actually without understanding this properly.
Can you preach without understanding this properly? You can preach something, but you can preach something, but how much benefit? There won't be much benefit to others. Unless one is fixed in Krishna consciousness, unless his motive is to purely serve Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas, then he'll have other motives. There's Krishna consciousness and there's Maya. Maya means other motives. So that you will convey to others also by your preaching. You may be a big preacher and have hundreds and thousands of followers, and they may be chanting Hare Krishna, but if the Guru himself is not fully fixed in being simply, I'm the servant of my guru, who's pure devotee. Let's say Prabhupada, let's make it clear. It's theoretical, principle, and practical. Then you'll be misleading others. And at least in India, it's quite easy to mislead. Very easy. Otherwise, actually, it seems the more bogus you are, the more followers you'll get. Otherwise, how Sai Baba became so popular? Of course, there are certain things which won't be accepted. It's like this Asharam. He lost all popularity when he became exposed about his sexual activities and some other. So there are some limits. But people didn't leave him because he was not giving Krishna consciousness. They left him because of his misbehavior. One of the, with women, at least in India, well, not everyone, I mean Rajneesh, but in Rajneesh was there in Pune, and local people didn't like him at all because he promoted that illicit sex. But this Nityananda in Tamil Nadu, he was exposed as having sexual attached to women and this and that, and he's just going on shamelessly. He lost a lot of followers, but some are stupid enough to still follow him, and he'll say, well, I don't know what they say, you know, it's his leela, or you don't understand, I'm just doing it for their benefit, or something. Who knows what they say. You've got to, that's my point, you've got to be stupid to follow someone like that anyway. So India is a great place for exploiting others. I mean, the whole world is meant for exploiting others, but in the name of religion. That's why atheism is coming up more and more, because people point out, look, these gurus are just cheating. Just cheating you. Why should young people have faith in them? And so they to get the young people, then they become the modern gurus or preachers. They adjust themselves to what the young modern people want, and they give all kinds of talks and seminars which were what they want to hear. May tell lots of jokes and tell them how they can get on in the world and be a success, and their devotional, what is it, their career is their devotional service. And in this way people are cheated. The sign of Krishna's mercy is that you have a successful career. Krishna blessed you. Bogus idea. Same as the Protestants in America. Many of them promote this. That the sign of God's mercy is that you have lots of money. And Krishna says just the opposite. Someone who I'm very merciful to, I may take away all their money. Not in every case. If we preach this, oh, take to Krishna consciousness and you'll lose all your good fortune materially, then who will come? So we may not say that in the beginning. First we have to make people realize that nothing in this material world is of any value anyway, so if you lose it, what does it matter? Lose it, or lose it or gain it, there's no real difference, because it doesn't belong to us anyway. Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. Anything else? Yes, please. A regular devotee who's already initiated. What do you mean by a regular devotee? Following the instructions of the spiritual master. What are the precautions? Not to get in the trap of lava, puja, and pratishtha. When you're saying following the instructions of the spiritual master, this is something I was just discussing yesterday in the talk, that in ISKCON today, the great majority of initiated devotees don't follow the basic program that Prabhupada gave. of having full morning program. They can't even dream of it because they're busy in their working life. There are so many other things apart from the morning program. So, So it would be difficult for them unless you take strength by following the basic principles and having sufficient hearing and chanting, then it's going to be very difficult to be free from poor consciousness. We have to hear regularly, daily, again and again, you're not the body. We have to give up material desires, because the tendency to go back, it's like a heroin addict or something like that. They are an alcoholic. Even though the alcohol is very bad for them, they have a very strong tendency to drink it because they're addicted. So we're addicted to a material way of life in which labh, puja and pratishtha, that's what people are living for. So we have to become strong by taking up program of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it's going to be very difficult. The inoculation is by hearing and chanting about Krishna in association with devotees. That's stated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami. We get the seed of devotional service, the seed of the creeper of devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Then we have to plant it in our heart and water it with the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then it can grow up. If they don't water it, it's not going to grow. Or if there's insufficient water also. Different crops require a different amount of water. But there's no crop that has no water. And certain crops, if you put water but not enough water, then it may live for some time, but then it will die. It needs sufficient water, it means sufficient hearing and chanting. So these projects are meant for that. These projects are meant for grihastha devotees to escape from the city and live simply and have full Shravan Kirtan program, the same as the brahmacharis. That's the main reason for these projects. It's not to demonstrate vegetarianism or even cow protection. Srila Prabhupada said the main reason. There are so many other things. I mean, cow protection is very, very important, no doubt. The main reason, Prabhupada said, is to save time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So it is possible in the city to become Krishna conscious, but in general, advancement is going to be very slow because the way of life is such that one doesn't have the opportunity to do what is required according to the science of Krishna consciousness, to become purified. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I'm insisting, farm, farm, farm. There's one quote from Prabhupada like that. Poor hearing, but a lot of service. Busy in Krishna's service. What is our spiritual advancement? Well, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the devotee. So it may be that someone from a previous life or whatever has a very strong attitude of service. Jayananda Prabhu was a great example of that. One of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples. But in general, if we don't hear about Krishna, and we don't engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, chanting our rounds, getting up early in the morning, dancing and chanting with devotees. If we don't engage in that, then we may be serving, but we'll be doing it with lack of proper understanding. And therefore, we may be doing it. We may think, why am I working so hard? I can do the same and get money in a job. or we may become envious of others, or think, oh, I'm doing so much service, I'm better than others. Purification is required from hearing and chanting. And we also require to do service. Otherwise, we only do here. First of all, we don't have the taste of hearing and chanting all day. But we also require to do some practical service in terms of, there are so many things that we can do. Cleaning the floor, distributing books, cooking for Krishna, washing the pots, so many things. I understand, I'm doing this for Krishna, because I just heard in the class about that. It's the science. And anything else? About what? No evening program. Well, I often cite Gurudas Prabhu. He said, now I joined the farm, my sadhana is much better than... After I married and joined the farm, my sadhana is much better than when I was a brahmachari. Because generally in the evenings we'd go out for book distribution or preaching. But here in the farm we have a full evening program. So, and every day, and for a brahmachari they may sometimes have to drive somewhere or do something. Generally that doesn't happen in the farm. It can do, there can be some kind of emergency, just like this morning, Krishna Shri Prabhu missed part of the morning program because he had to take a devotee to the doctor. The devotee was quite sick. So that may happen, but in the city preaching center, it generally happens more. Do we get any report? I'll ask you afterwards. Blood test report.
When we are preaching in the city, it's difficult to avoid late night preaching.
When we're preaching in the city, it's difficult to avoid late night preaching. That's true in India. It's not true all over the world. In Slovenia, you don't have that problem. Yeah, there's no end to this question. You have to strike a balance. There is no proper balance. So, what to do? Then Ekadashi, you just do hearing and chanting all day. That's all. But mostly then, if you give hearing and chanting all day, then it'll go on for 1 or 2 hours and then it'll be sleeping all day. Then what to do? Then you have to take extra rest in the day. This question is going on forever. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Jai Balarama. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.